The definition of globalism. A national geopolitical policy in which the entire world is regarded as the appropriate sphere for a state's influence. The development of a social, cultural, technological, or economic networks that transcend natural boundaries. It is also referred to as globalization. Now Strobe Talbot probably said it most distinctly in his article in Times Magazine, July 20, 1992 called Birth of the Global Nation. Here is what Talbot said. In the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete, all states will recognize a single global authority. You say, well, what do I care what Strobe Talbot thinks? Well, we probably all should care, because he said that in 1992. In 1994 he was summoned to the White House to serve in the Clinton State Department in 1994 until the end of the term of the Clintons in the year 2000. So he is the embodiment of what the Clintons believe about the future of our world. National sovereignty will cease to exist in the 21st century. We will all answer to a single, global authority. Now what makes this so haunting? The Bible prophesies about the near future about one world government being just ahead of us. Let me read a couple of them to you. Daniel 7:23 says it this way. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall trade it down, and break it in pieces. Now to put this in context, the passage goes on to say that he will launch a time of religious persecution called the Great Tribulation, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. That Great Tribulation will last for 3.5 years. Sold the establishment of this one world government spoken of here in Daniel 7:23 is going to actually take place about 3.5 years before the second coming of Jesus and the Battle of Armageddon. That world government will be at the zenith of its power during that final 3.5 years. So here we are in a red-hot presidential campaign, and the number one issue has become globalism versus national sovereignty. Let me give you the other book's scripture. It is Revelation 13:7. Revelation 13:1-8 is devoted to the Antichrists, and his one world government. Revelation 1:7 says it this way. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. The dream of one world government is not a new dream. Yet, it has been revived with a vengeance. Beginning at the first part of the 20th century and escalating dramatically right now. World War I was called the Great War, the greatest war this world had ever seen. 8.2 million dead. Our President Woodrow Wilson said we have to stop this carnage. We can never let this happen again. He came up with a plan, the League of Nations. However, there were members of our Congress that quickly sorted through this plan. In order for it to work like Woodrow Wilson said it should work, nations would have to surrender its sovereignty and merge into a one-world governmental system. Consequently, our Congress wisely voted no, and it was dead on arrival. It quickly faded into obscurity. However, it was not totally disregarded. A short time after this, Franklin Delano Roosevelt placed on the US dollar bill, and it's still there today, the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, which is Latin for New World Order. Novus is new, Ordo is order, and Seclorum is secular or world. Why in the world would our President Franklin D. Roosevelt put the term New World Order on the back of our dollar bill? Well, for a good reason. Because Roosevelt was a believer in a one-world governmental system. However, 20 years after World War I, once again the United States of America was embroiled in World War II. This time there wasn't an 8.2 million dead. This time a 52 million was dead. By now the nations were in panic. What is going to happen? This war was closed out with a nuclear weapon. What happens if there is 1,000 nuclear weapons unleashed upon this world? Will we destroy all human, plant and animal life on the face of the earth? Now we have the ability to do that. So the nations of the world came together under the leadership of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a dream up of the New World Order, and founded a new organization called the United Nations. It actually was a continuation of the League of Nations. They actually inherited the furniture and the property of the League of Nations, but they put a new face on it called the United Nations. It was designed from the outset to be a one-world government. Now it did have a flaw. The flaw was that still the United States was not totally willing to surrender its sovereignty. So we demand veto power, ultimate veto power over the big decisions made by the United Nations. When we demanded veto power, then the other big nations of World War II said, if you get it, then we get it. So when everything was settled in the United States, Great Britain, France, and Russia, the Big Five, were given veto power. All the rest of the nations of the world found themselves already in a one-world government over which they had no veto power. Because of the veto power, immunity immediately out of World War II between Russia and the United States of America heated up. It produced what was called the Cold War. So from 1945 until 1989 we do live through this, wondering whether the Russians would push the button or the United States would push those nuclear buttons. We were wondering if we would even wake up at all. We lived that way for 44 years or so. However, with the Berlin Wall and the tearing down of the Iron Curtain in 1989, it was announced the Cold War is over. We are moving into a new world order. President George Herbert Walker Bush, who is our president at the time, along with Mikhail Gorbachev, the leader of the Soviet Union, and Pope John Paul II, regarded as the world's strongest religious leader, they all came together within 20 days of the fall of the Berlin Wall, and they came out of those meetings announcing the birth of the new world order. It was a term that not many of us were familiar with. Even though it had been on the back about dollar bill, but it was written in Latin, so we had not really paid much attention to it. However, these three leaders, they meant what they said. They believed that they were giving birth to a new world order. Listen to what George Herbert Walker Bush said shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Now many of us recall President L. Bush talking about an emerging new world order. In 1989 Bush told the students of Texas A&M University, perhaps the world order of the future will truly be a family of nations. Shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall Bush said, we have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, listen to this term in the words of George Bush Sr., a new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN founders. Now remember what our subject is today. Do we believe in a one world government, a new world order, or do we want to maintain national sovereignty and continue to be an independent nation? We have declared our independence, but many people think that we should renounce that declaration and announce a declaration of interdependence. Now here is something else that Bush Sr. said. What is at stake is more than one small country, it is a basic idea. A new world order. Again, you can listen to this on videos on the internet. You do not have to take my word for it, he stated these things. Bush Sr. said the world can therefore seize the opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order. Long-held? Yes. Woodrow Wilson held it? Franklin D. Roosevelt held it? Many others held it. Now George Herbert Walker Bush held it. Now on the heels of the fall of the Berlin Wall, when everyone was saying there is going to be peace on earth and goodwill to men, all of a sudden Saddam Hussein decided he could invade Kuwait and claim its oil riches for his own. Well, he did, and George Herbert Walker Bush, as the leader of the nation of the free world, felt that he had to go against Houghton Huss. When he was marshaling the forces, he got together 29 different nations who were contributing either troops or resources to the efforts against Saddam Hussein back in 1991. When he did this, George Bush said, I want to make clear to the Iraqi people, this is not the United States of America against Saddam Hussein, this is Saddam Hussein against the world. Bush already was thinking about a one-world government situation. He went on to say the world can therefore seize the opportunity in the Persian Gulf crisis to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together for a common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. George Herbert Walker Bush was a big believer in the One World Order. Some people called him an internationalist. Now I am barely scratching the surface here today, although I have a lot more material for you, but we at the end of the age have produced a DVD called The Master Plan of the Dragon. The dragon being Satan. Satan has a master plan for this world, and this DVD will knock you to your feet because we tell things here that have not been told before. What is Satan's master plan, and how it is affecting us right now? Then the other DVD that we produced, one of the most popular that we have ever done, World Government Forming Now. Two DVDs, Master Plan of the Dragon, and World Government Forming Now. If you would like to have a copy of these, pick up the phone and call us now. The number to call is 1-800-363-8463. Or you can go to our website endtime.com. There you will see a place for you to order these two DVDs. You need to see both of these. It may change the way you vote in this present election. Whether that happens or not, at least you will understand what globalism is and why it is the 800-pound gorilla in the living room. As history marched on after World War II, the European Union was found. It was quite a process, but eventually it came to the point today that we have 27 nations that have their own constitutions. It is called the European Union. They have 500 million people. The USS has 315 million. And also the European Union passed the USS economically in 2007. It is a power that is laid low, but it won't lay low for long. It has a very pivotal role to play in the prophecies of the end times. Now let us talk about the battle to bring the United States into a world government. The World Federalist Organization worked tirelessly because they are a firm believer that world government is the answer. The World Federalist Organization each year gives away an award to the person that year that did the most work towards one world government, called the Norman Cousins Award, because Norman Cousin was a big believer in one world government. In the year 2000, this award was given to Walter Cronkite. For some of you that are old enough to remember, he was the voice of news in America for 30 years. Listen to what Walter Cronkite had to say about world government. It seems to many of us that if we are to avoid the eventual catastrophic world conflict, we must strengthen the United Nations as a first step towards a world government pattern after our own government, with a legislative, executive, and judiciary and police to enforce its international lords and keep the peace. To do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That would be a bitter pill. It would take a lot of courage, a lot of faith in the new order. But the American colonies did it once and brought for one of the most nearly perfect unions the world has ever seen. Mr. Walter Cronkite was an avid believer and a one world government tool system. President Clinton also was an internationalist. He believes in a one world governmental system. He pushed the concept forward as much as he could. I pull up today his speech that he gave on September 22, 1997, of the UN General Assembly. In there he made a statement. He said, "It is time for the International Criminal Court." Let me give you the quote exactly. "Before the century ends, we should establish a permanent international court to prosecute the most serious violations of humanitarian law." Well, that proposal immediately flipped the world community into action, but by the very next year, by July 17, 1998, they put together what was called the International Criminal Court Statute of Rome and came into force of enough ratification by 2002. Today, every single person under the sound of my voice could be taken before that International Criminal Court, and you can be put on trial without protection of the US Constitution nor the Bill of Rights. That's all I have time to tell you about. Nevertheless, it was proposed by none other than Bill Clinton. Mr. David Rockefeller, one of the most powerful people of the last 100 years, also was the chairman of the board at Chase Bank until his retirement. He said this in his memoirs on page 405. "Some even believe that we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalist, in our conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political economic structure, one world, if you will. If that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. Memoirs by David Rockefeller, page 405. I think it was written in 2002. David Rockefeller also said this, because he was a big mover behind the scenes. He had meetings with the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. He was the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He also was the founder of the Trilateral Commission. All of these meetings that was always held in secret, listen to what David Rockefeller said. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and the great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion. For almost 40 years, all of these supposedly impartial news media people, now Rockefeller is giving them credit for keeping their mouths shut for almost 40 years, he went on to say, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world, if we had been subject to the lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in past centuries. David Rockefeller said, founder of the Trilateral Commission, in a meeting to the Trilateral Commission in June 1992. Now Mr. James Warburg of the very powerful European Warburg family, he came here to the United States and he was the person mainly responsible for writing the Federal Reserve Act, which was adopted in 1913. Now his son James Warburg Jr. was testifying before a committee on foreign affairs, and here is what he said. We shall have a world government whether or not you like it, by conquest or by consent. Now he was a CFR member, a Council on Foreign Relations member. He was speaking to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 17, 1950. You can check it out in the Congressional Record. Here is what Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter said concerning globalism in 1952. The UN is but a long-range, international banking apparatus clearly set up for financial and economic profit by a small group of powerful one-world revolutionaries, hungry for profit and power. Now Curtis Dahl, FDR's son-in-law, made that statement. The son-in-law of FDR. The title of his book was My Exploited Father-in-Law. Whether FDR was exploited or whether he knew what was going on, well, that's another discussion for another day. Now here is what Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter said, patience, the real rulers in Washington are invisible, and exercise power from behind the scenes. We have all been suspicious about that, haven't we? Senator William Fulbright said the case for government by the elite is irrefutable. He was the former chairman of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He stated that in a 1963 symposium entitled The Elite and the Electorate. Is government by the people possible? Then former Congressman John Rarick in 1951 said this, the Council on Foreign Relations is the establishment. Oh, you have heard that term establishment in this presidential campaign. Well, he spills the beans. Council on Foreign Relations headed by David Rockefeller, who was for one world government, that is the establishment. Not only does it have influence and power in key decision-making positions at the highest level of government to apply pressure from above, but it also announces and uses individuals and groups to bring pressure from the low, to just the five high-level decisions for converting the U.S. from a sovereign constitutional republic to a servile member state of a one-world dictatorship. Here is what Richard Gardner said, the new world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down, but in the end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. That was in the 1974 issue of the CFR Foreign Affairs Journal. Quickly, one more. England's Prime Minister Tony Blair. We are all internationalists now, whether we like it or not. On the eve of a new millennium, we are now in a new world. We need new rules for international cooperation and new ways of organizing our international institutions. That is all I have time for. One more time, Master Plot of the Dragon, that is one DVD, and also World Government Forming Now. To get your copy, the number to call is 1-800-363-8463 or goendtime.com. You have been listening to Globalism End of the Age.